that will change my life, that will change my story. Send it to me this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Give Jesus a big clap of it as you take your seat. Thank you, Jesus. It's my privilege to welcome you this morning to this service, the last service, the last Sunday service in the month of September. I want to congratulate everyone here for the privilege given to you and for God sparing your life and bringing you here safely. And my prayer for you this morning is that none will miss his or her blessings in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. You never cease to go up as long as you are a worshiper. The elevation of a man is suspended when his worship life stops. Because there is no reason for a man to be alive if he cannot worship his maker. There is no reason to be alive again because you were created. The manufacturer said, the reason why I created you is to worship me. Now listen to me, friends. If I don't preach this morning and we worship God during the time of message, I have preached. I have never seen a worshiper stranded. Never. When you see people being stranded and things are not working, it's because their worship life is kwashokor, has problem, is deficient, is anemic. For somebody here this morning, new grace to worship God like never before in your closet. And of course, in the church like this, receive this morning in the name of Jesus. I'd like to hear your big amen. I'm speaking this morning on a message titled Overcoming Hindrances to Divine Involvement. I'm speaking this morning on a message titled Overcoming Hindrances to Divine Involvement. God wants to be involved in your situation and circumstance. God's delight is to make you happy. God is alive and is alive to make you happy and your future to be glorious. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he owns my future. And life is worth a living just. So as long as God is alive, your future is meant to be alright. But there are some hindrances. There are some things that stops us from assessing God's involvement. There are some things that hinders the hand of God from being stretched in our favor. Speaking about that this morning, and I trust God that God will touch somebody in a new way. Number one hindrance to divine involvement is a life of iniquity. A life of iniquity. A life of iniquity simply means a dirty life. Dirty life. A life that does not bring glory and honor to God. The Bible says in Psalms 5 verse 5, Psalm chapter 5 verse 5, that God hated workers of iniquity. Any man or woman who is a man or woman of iniquity, God doesn't want to involve himself in their case. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers. Now listen to me, friends. God loves everybody. But when there is iniquity, dirty lifestyle, God hates that iniquity. How many of us can see a man who entered into Soccerway that has been in the house for the past 14 years. He mistakenly entered it. And immediately he came out, you go to him and you say, I want to begin to lick your body. Or I want to hug you. No matter how much you love that person, it will be irritating. Soccerway that has not been packed for 14 years. The person mistakenly entered it and immediately he came out. He said, I want to kiss you now. Or I want to, no, you feel irritated. That is the same way God is hindered from touching us when we are dirty. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, There's a story there. Anytime I read that story, it's very touching. The story of Eli and his two sons. Eli, God had promised Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that I'm going to make sure that all the days of your life you are a priest. But all of a sudden, Eli, his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, their life of iniquity destroyed the ministry of their father. That's why parents that are here today, watch it. Your children's, God can hold you accountable for your children's life. Because he gave you those children. In verse 12, God held Eli accountable. He said, you know what these children are doing, and you refuse to correct them. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the law. Can you imagine the sons of priests? They did not know the law. If you have another version, like the Message version, translation, can I have this particular place? If you have it. If you don't have it, don't worry. You see, friends, we must be careful. The blessings we have received from God can be withdrawn if we persist in iniquity. Go to verse 13. Verse 13. Like of this same place, just go to verse 13. And they caused this. Now, let me just summarize it. These guys, normally as a priest, when people bring offering to the church, there's a portion for the priest. The priest will take a fork when the meat is being boiled and puts the fork inside the meat. Anyone that comes out is for the priest. The rest will be burnt up as a living sacrifice to God. These guys will go to the meat and stop those that want to do sacrifice. It's just like somebody coming to church with his offering. Want to say, no, don't drop your offering. Open that offering now. Show me. How much is it? You say, oh, my offering is 2,000. Okay, bring 1,000 naira out of it. He puts it in his pocket. He say, go and drop the rest. They will look at the meat brought into the house and they will pick the one they want. Not boiled. They like roasted meat. They will go and roast it and give God trash. Aside from that, these guys, there are some ladies like in the church, like protocols, and some people that assist in the cleaning of the church. They will sleep with them inside the church. And God said, what kind of human being are you? You know about the iniquity of this your children, and you refuse to correct them. I withdraw from you. Now, I don't have more time this morning because I have about 7 points here this morning. Listen to me, friends. This man eventually died with his neck being broken. The sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died in battle on the same day. So a particular family was wiped out the same day. The generation was completely cleaned out because of iniquity. Friends, iniquity is a destroyer of destiny. Anywhere there is iniquity, God, that's one of the problems of this nation today. This is a rich nation. There are few nations in the whole wide world that is as rich as this country. But the level of killings, the level of armed robbery, the level of kidnapping, the level of stealing, the level of lying. Abba. Until you and I, there is nothing like iniquity in our lives. Our clothes must be clean. According to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 8. You must have a white garment. Before God can hug you. Before God can come close to you. He's not interested in rubbish. God is not interested in rubbish. He's not a rubbish person. If you want God to be involved in your case, withdraw your hand from anything that does not glorify God. Anything that makes God unhappy, say no, 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 no. I won't do this again. I won't go into this again. This is not my life. I'm a child of God. He that's in Christ is a new creature. Whole things, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Whole things that passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somebody is here this morning. That grace that makes new is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. So number one hindrance to God's hand in your life and in my life is iniquity. Number two, major hindrance to divine involvement is the involvement with other gods. In Jeremiah 17 verse 5 to 8, Jeremiah 17 verse 5 to 8, they say, cursed is the man that putteth his trust in another man. Once you are a human being and your trust is no longer in God, your trust is now in man, God said you are cursed. May you never be cursed in Jesus' name. Once your trust is now 100% on your husband, on your father or your mother or one earthly person somewhere. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that putteth his trust and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the law. Next verse. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness, in a salt land, and not be inhabited. Yes. Blessed is the man who trusted in the Lord. That is you. Let me hear your amen.
Amen.
I said that is you.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruits. So when you put your trust in God, you are qualified to yield fruits. Somebody is here this month, you are still going to yield fruits. In the remaining days of this month, you are going to yield fruits. I can hear your loudest amen. I can hear your loudest amen. So, friends, your dependence on other God or concentration with other God qualifies a man for a curse. Let me take you somewhere and you follow. Mere collecting, say, I didn't want to use it, but they just gave me, so I just kept it. So that it doesn't look rude. Take this thing, and you cannot say no. So you are telling me you cannot say no. Are you telling me you cannot say no? No, I can't take this. I'm a Christian. No. I told you the story before of when I was about to finish secondary school. I stayed in a particular place. And one of the women there called me one day, said, you are a good boy. You are a very, very good boy. Now that you are preparing for WAEC, I want to give you something that when you read for this WAEC, you will assimilate very fast. You will outshine all the others. As small as I was then, I knew the right thing. I said, no. And I'm very sure if she has six children, the six of them are not as brilliant as I am today. No to other God means yes to God. Saying no to option, it means yes to God. Exodus 20 verse 5 to 6. So if you are a man or woman that has any other God, God will never be involved with you forever. Forever, forever, till forever. Your involvement with any other, thou shalt not bow thyself down myself to them, nor serve them. Can you see that? Don't bow to them, nor serve them. Anybody or anything that serve your other God, don't bow to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, the God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So once we serve other God, God is saying that it means that you hate me. Okay, do you think I'm not big enough to help you? Why will you go and meet another God? Do you think I'm not smart enough to assist you? Now, God is more jealous than any woman you can see in the world. There are some women that if their husband mistakenly shakes somebody after service, there will be fire in the house that day. Because of this, look at the way you shake her. Look at the way you even looked at her. Just, I appreciate you, Neil. I appreciate you. There are some women, if their husband is working with a female and they bring the female home, for maybe they came home to quickly pick something else, there will be problem. I was not at home. You brought somebody home. I saw somebody in your car. I said, it's my colleague. Which colleague? Why can't she sit at the back? They are going for a meeting. Is she the one that will now sit at the driver's seat? Angel will now sit at his upper. But God is now saying, I am more jealous. And I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. I show mercy to as many that love me. And those that hate me by consulting any other God, I hate them. May you never be among that God, those that God will hate. Friends, listen to me. Anybody can hate you. That's your cup of tea. In fact, I'll be surprised if you don't have enemies. It means you are not making progress. If you are making progress, you have enemies, you'll be stepping on people's toes. You are destroying witches and wizards. You are destroying forces of darkness, so you will have enemies. But what I'm saying is, one person must not hate you. That is God. If God hates a man, he's finished. And one cardinal thing that makes God to hate any man is involvement with any other God. Your continuous trust in God is very, very important. You must continue. In Psalms 40 verse 1, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me. That is, David had confidence in God. Your confidence in God gives you influence on earth. When you have confidence, when you have trust in God, you have influence on earth. I've never seen a man or woman who put his trust absolutely in God and lives to regret it. Number three hindrance to divine involvement is lack of joyful and faithful kingdom stewardship. Serving God is important, but serving Him joyfully and faithfully is more important. You know, one can serve God and still be beaten for it. If that service is not done according to God's stipulated way, God has a way that He wants you to serve Him, and you must only serve Him in that way, or He will not involve Himself in what you are doing. Your service must be done faithfully, and it must be listen to me, there are some pastors now and some other people who are into so-called ministries who are not called by God, and so because of that their service is not faithful, so because of that God can never accept it. When you are not doing what you are supposed to do joyfully and faithfully, God can never be involved in it. God can never be involved in it. I mean, some pastors have almost become like juju priests, like our fast now, because wanting to have money, wanting to have people in the church at the expense of faithful service. Until what you are doing is done faithfully and joyfully. I mean, you can't be sweeping and be grumbling. You can't be singing and be frowning. You can't be praying and be murmuring. Now, let me show you this. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 to 48, God explains this to us very, very clearly. That is important for you, whenever you are serving me, this thing must be done joyfully. Someone say joyfully. And it must be done faithfully. Faithfully. Now, look at this. Because thou servest not Jehovah thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, by the reason of the abundance of all things. Verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies. Somebody say, God forbid. Which version is this? Amplified. Okay. So change back to KJV after this. God bless you. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger. Somebody say, God forbid. And in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until I destroy thee. He's serving God, but he's not serving joyfully. God said, this your service will be in hunger. It will be, you will not have clothes to wear because you did not serve me with your heart. God will never be involved in any service that is not with happiness, that is not done joyfully. Any service with murmuring, is a wasted service. It's better to stay without serving God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10. Neither ye murmur as others murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Murmuring, complaining before God makes God withdraw his hand. What you are saying is that you are smart. You are more than the module. You are more than this. Rubbish. How come? This is rubbish. This is nonsense. What is this that God is telling me now? What is that? God will say, okay, very good. But today, you are smart now. Now that you are now very, very smart, let me leave you to run your life on your own. May you never be an abandoned person. May you never be an abandoned person. May you never be an abandoned person. Listen to me. This is one of the greatest problems why people remain the same in a ministry. In a ministry where there are diverse testimonies, some are deficient of testimony because of murmuring, complaining, because of issue that does not mean anything. You just allow devil to rob you of your blessing. Never again. That will never be somebody's portion here again in the name of Jesus. So, you must serve him faithfully and joyfully. And this service into his kingdom must be a continuous one. Yesterday God told me, and I wrote it down here. Say, whenever there is no investment into the kingdom from you, there will be no involvement in your case from God. When there is no investment, faithful investment in God's kingdom, your hand is too heavy to carry chair. Your leg is too big to stand as a protocol. You are too big to do any service in the house of God. Then God say, I cannot bother myself to involve myself in your case still forever. Because you have now become a very big man. Your involvement in God's work qualifies you for his hand in your life. If you are involved in God's work, you have qualified for his hand in your own work. While I was working in some of the organizations where I worked before, I used to tell my friends, I can never be sacked. I can never be sacked. They say, why? People were sacked beside me. I said, no, they can't sack me. It's impossible. It looked like arrogance, but I know this secret made me to know it. That if I'm involved in God's work, you can't send me home. I must perform in my duties. So you can't talk of sacking me. People are only sacked because they are not faithful and because they are not adding value to the organization. Nobody is sacked if he's doing well on his job. Somebody is here this morning. Your case is changing for the better. Not serving God is a sign of foolishness and spiritual dullness. If you are not serving God, it means that you are dull. You are dull. You are not sharp. You don't know the secret to quickly rise. You can't come to church and just be sitting on a chair and carry your bag after the Bible, after the service, and go home. Nothing being done for God. Nothing at all. Your name is not on any register in any department. No service being done. And we want to pray. He said, God, help me. God said, forget. Your voice will soon be, you will soon lose your voice. Please relax. Use your head. After the service, go and sign in for a department and surrender yourself to serve God. You want God to be involved in your case? Be involved in his own matter. Let God's work matter to you. Let God's work. I laugh. Some people say, I say, why didn't you come today? I'm busy. I laugh. Busy doing what? It amazes me. How do you work all your life for money? What about at the end of your life, at the end of eternity? When heaven calls you home, what do you stand to tell them? Say, I'm happy to inform you that I had more than 7 BSc when I was in the world. I'm happy to inform you that I drove more than 17 cars in my lifetime. BMW 2, Benz 3, Honda 4, Peugeot 504 1, Volkswagen 1. That was a long time anyway. Heaven ain't interested in that. Heaven is not interested in that. It's only your work. Say, I will test your work with fire. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To what? To give everyone according to his work. That should be in Revelations 21 or so, 21 or 22. Revelations 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come. As you are working for me, I am blessing you quickly. As you are working for me, I am changing your life quickly. God is not a robber. If you are involved in his matter, he will be involved in your matter. If you are, the things of God is paramount in your heart. The things of God is very, very heavy upon your heart. Nothing matters to you like God. You make him first in everything, then you have qualified for his involvement in your case. Is somebody being blessed this morning? Somebody that's been blessed, shout a big hallelujah. hindrances to divine involvement. I said number one is what? A life of iniquity. Number two is what? Involvement with other gods. Number three is what? Lack of joyful and faithful service, kingdom stewardship. Number four. What is the number four thing that hinders a man from God working in his life? It's called wrong words. Words are very powerful. Your life today is a product of your word yesterday. In Proverbs 18 verse 6, it says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. The destruction of a fool is not devil. Can I have KJV? Except I ask for other versions, please. Always give me KJV. I'm a mixture of old school and praise the Lord. A fool's lips enters into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. His mouth calleth for strokes. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay, yeah. It's verse 7. Okay, I got that. God bless you. That's verse 7. Go back to that very quickly. Verse 7. Go back to that very quickly. Proverbs 18, verse 7. Proverbs 18, verse 7. Thank you, Jesus. A fool's mouth is his destruction. The first one, his mouth brings him into problem, contention. The second one, the mouth is what destroys him. Now go to Ephesians 4, verse 24 now. That's why you must know what you are. You don't just talk carelessly. When you talk carelessly, you can't amount to anything. And that you put on the new man, which, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go to Ephesians 5, verse 4. I think you are moving from version to version, so it's becoming a little... Just go to 5 verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. So there's a word called foolish talking. Bible says there's a word that is called foolish talking. You don't just talk. If you don't want to be hindered by God, you talk. You say, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jestings. Jestings means some awada. Some things that are not becoming, just cracking jokes that are not glorifying God. Jesting is similar to gisting. You can't see somebody, two people talking serious talk and say they are gisting. They are conversing, they are talking. But when people are just talking, they say, we are gisting. It's like you're saying we are jesting. Not jesting, which are not convenient. But rather giving up your mouth every time you speak. Ah, Father, I thank you. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for the church. That is what should proceed from your mouth. Many lives have been destroyed through their mouth. They just spoke. Nigeria. I don't think I can make it again here till forever. They even put it forever. Things have gone bad. Nobody here can make it. And begin to say all sorts of things. And because of that, things become very tough. Things become very, very tough. Things become very, very hard. Things will never be hard for you and I in the name of Jesus. If you speak good, you will see good. If you speak bad, you will speak bad. So it is to you according to your words. It is what you say that brings about the blessings of God for you. It is what you say that brings about curses also for a man. Now, listen, in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why parents, you must be very careful what you say to your children. When you bless your children, they are blessed. Because it's your own child. So if you say you are blessed, he will be blessed. That's why every child here today, try to go after the blessings of your parents. Don't allow your parents to curse you. Once your parents curse you, it will come to pass. Except you are the one that is right and you are under prophetic covering. And if your parents curse you, only God
through an anointed servant of God that carries God's power can reverse that course. It must come to pass. So you mustn't, don't treat your parent as a trash. Just talk, daddy, please. Like, don't ever, when I enter this house, don't mention rubbish to me. Your own father. Mommy or whatever, what are you called? Your own mother. Hey, mommy. Please clear, carry your jege body away from this road. Pack yourself, gather yourself. You don't say such things. Parents are to be revered. You are to regard and respect them. Say, mommy, how you? Well, she didn't look by. Why is your body, everything doing jege like this to get into your leg like this? Your mother, I mean, it's because of you. It's because of the work they have done for you. Excess breastfeeding. Is it 6 months of breastfeeding? Some people, they breastfed you till 2 years. Till 2 years. In fact, that 2 years, you cried for 2 years. After that 2 years, 6 months, you were crying for me, for breast. Within that, they will still give you small. They stop small. They give you small. They stop small. That's why you are so strong. Your physique is so strong. You look good. Somebody invested in it. Don't just speak anyhow. Now, many people have been there. Many of you know the story of that man, that Amalekite, who wanted to try to prove to David as if he was a smart boy. Saul killed him. You know the story. Everyone of you know the story in 1 Samuel. The last chapter, if we can go there very quickly. Saul killed himself. Nobody killed him. Nobody killed Saul. Saul was the one that killed himself. Bible says in 1 Samuel 31, verse 6. So Saul died. Let's go to verse 4. Then Saul said unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and trust me through therewith, lest this uncircumcised come and trust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. It was Saul that killed himself. Nobody killed him. He killed himself. Now this boy went to David and said, I'm the one that escaped from the war. Say, what about King Saul? He said, he's dead with his 3 sons. And David tore his clothes. He said, how did he die? He said, I'm the one that killed him. You? 2 Samuel 1 verse 10. If you are there. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. You don't even have fear. You thought a man of God. So I stood upon him and slay him because I was sure that he could not live after that. He was falling. And I took the crown that was upon his head. And he took that guy's crown. The guy killed himself, but he wasn't the one that killed him. He wanted his mouth. Go to verse 14. And David said, you don't have respect. You stretch your hands towards a man of God. And David said unto him, how was thou not afraid? You are not. That's what is happening now in nowadays. People just stretch their mouth. People just point their hand. They just, this one, that. You don't do such a thing. How can you stretch your hands? To stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed. Verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him. He wouldn't have died. His mouth. He called for death through his mouth. Anytime you speak wrongly, you are calling for something wrong. It's better not to talk than to talk wrong. The Bible says that a fool, when he keeps quiet, they will say he's a wise person. But when a wise person is talking too much, when you talk too much, you will be lying and you will talk nonsense. And God will not be involved. When you spare your words, you spare your life. When you spare your words, you spare your life. When you talk too much, you don't think too much. Anyone that talks too much will not be able to think too much and doesn't allow God to move in our life. You must realize that the mouth is very powerful. And when you speak, it will come to pass. Listen to me, friends. As you speak in prayers this morning, every wall of Jericho before you will become flat in the name of Jesus. You are not an ordinary person. That's why you can't just talk anyhow. When you speak with power. When you speak, you see, I'm very conscious. One day God spoke, he said, don't speak anyhow. He said, because anything you say, he said, I will confirm it. I will do it. That's why if I speak against the devil, that devil doesn't have two options. He must hear the word of the Lord. I speak against anything working against you. Anything that want to debar your progress and your promotion. Today, they are declared buried in the name of Jesus. They are declared buried in the name of Jesus. Number five, hindrance to God's involvement in a man's life is called lack of investing in other people. Life is not about its duration, but about its donation. It's important for you to note that every one of us were born to be of help to another person. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, Matthew 5 verse 7, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you are merciful, you will receive mercy. If you are merciless, you will not obtain mercy. Every man or woman is born to be a blessing to somebody around him. If you really want God to be involved in your life, consider the poor. In Psalms chapter 41 verse 1 to 3. Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. It says, blessed is he that considers the poor. For the Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. If you consider the poor, then in your... Blessed is the man that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. Verse 2. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed. Someone say amen. Amen. Please be sensitive. Be sensitive. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him unto his enemies. So when you help the poor, you can't be a person that is delivered to your enemies. Verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, that thou will make all his bed in his sickness. That is, when he's sick, because he's the helper of the poor, God will bring him out of the sickness. God is never involved with a stingy person. God is never involved with somebody who is only thinking of myself. No. You must be a man and a woman always thinking of who to bless, thinking of who to help. If you are not raising anybody, you are wasting away in life. If there's nobody being lifted because of you, there's nobody feeding because you are alive, there's nobody happy that you are in existence, there's nobody thanking God because you are alive, you are living a wasted life. As small as your salary is, some people should benefit from it. As small as your income is, some people should be thanking God every time that you are alive. Helping others is what makes God to help you. The story in Luke chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan. Verse chapter 10 from verse 30 to 37. Who others, priests, pastors, and all that saw somebody injured, they passed by him. Only this good Samaritan went to the man, helped him, and paid his bills. Assisted him. Others do that. Now, in the economy that we are now, you must be very, very sensitive to others' needs if you want to remain prosperous. Because when you have excess and somebody has nothing, and you refuse to look at that person at all, no matter how small, then you are signing up for lack. There are so many in need now. So stretch your hand of love towards them. Stretch your hand of. There are some people, their parents can, in the last 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, they cannot boast of ordinary bread that they have eaten from their hands. Ordinary bread, your own parent. Your brother that has no job, your sister that has no job, your neighbor that you know only eats yam with palm oil. And you are frying egusi, pepper soup, fish, turkey, everything. The smell, she uses the smell of your, she eats eba sometimes, but she will do the eba. She will go to your window, she will use the smell. Touch. She will try. Ah, Jivai. And you know, you did not bring out just a piece of meat to say, please, can you have this? Then there is no way God can be involved in your own case. That's why you saw people, they were up before. Suddenly, they went down. And it's so common now. Because when you are not a person that is assisting others, you cannot be blessed. For somebody here this morning, grace to be a blessing to your entire world. Receive this morning in the name of Jesus. If you can't point to anyone you are raising, you are wasting. As I begin to prepare, I'll take two more very quickly. Number six, hindrance to God's involvement is lack of direction and discretion. Lack of direction and focus. Lack of direction and focus. In Matthew 6 verse 22, the Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you ever want God to be involved in your case, be focused. Don't be a shenishon person. Do this small. Do that one small. Do God small. Do devil small. Do your wife small. Do other like seven people outside small. Be focused so that you will not become a locust. Focus your attention on where you are going. Focus your attention on your future. Don't be a busybody. Focus. Focus on what God has for you. Be a focused person. So that God can... I mean, there are people that in the last 2-3 years, they have done more than 5, 6, 7, 8 businesses. Before a business blows up, they say this one is not okay. They move to another one. Before a business blows up, move to another one. You can't prosper like that. Identify what God wants you to do and stay there doing it. Identify what God has for you. You can be a geologist and at the same time a lab technician and at the same time a chemical engineer and at the same time an accountant. Everything. Have you seen a professor of everything? Professor is in chemistry, is in professor of accounting, is a professor of physiotherapy. You can't be everything. That's what they call jack of all trades, master of none. If you want God to bless you, focus on that task. Focus on your assignment. The reason why some people have a problem with me is because you can't find me anywhere. That's just the truth. Brutal focus. I was busy preparing for this message yesterday. Somebody phoned me. Said, I want to see you. I said, you can't see me now. I'm walking. You can't see me. You can't see me. Even if I'm going to make 1 billion naira, you can't see me. You can't see me. Focus. Be focused on your task. And then you see God being involved in your case. Number seven, we are going to stop. What other thing does not make God involved in our case? It's called lack of desperation. Until you are desperate, you can't get God's involvement. Your desperation provokes God's hand. Jesus, I am desperate. I need your help on this matter. That's desperation. I didn't come here to church just to watch the environment.
I came for my encounter.
That's desperation. Many Christians are not desperate. Let me tell you what desperation does to you. Desperation makes you pray. Desperation makes you available in church. Desperation will make you wait on the Lord. While we're doing the prayer banquet on Friday, after the prayer banquet, I said, all of you, pray very well. I said, I just laughed. I said, this is not the last prayer. This is not the first prayer session in this church. We started praying in this church from 8 o'clock this morning. 8 to 9, 2 to 3. This is another prayer, 6 to 7. We are still coming back at night, 11 p.m., pastors to pray. So, we are not just pushing you. They just want us to be praying. They are just pushing us to pray. No. We are desperate to see you blessed. We are desperate. The desperation is there. These people must be blessed. But most people, they themselves, they don't love themselves. You must be desperate. Father, after 15 years of graduation, nothing to show. Enough is enough. Today, I must see you. God, anywhere you are, you must show to concerning me today. That was what Jacob did. That was what Esther did. Anywhere you are, today, it's not tomorrow. If you are desperate, you will fast. If you are not desperate, on our fasting day, you will be among those that eat guguru, chin chin, chips, fan eyes, everything that passes here, come. Boss, fast, come. On fasting day, you are not desperate. You that you should have fast started fasting before the day. On the fasting day, say, come. Pure water, come. Zobot, come. Bread, come. Buns, come. You are not desperate. God said, when you are ready for your blessing, call me. when you are ready to be blessed, call me. That's why this Wednesday and next week Monday, which is the first Monday of the month that we fast, food must not touch your mouth. Is there something there? Is there something in this your mouth that says you something must be drawing every minute? You speak to his ear with his tongue. You can't kill me. Holy Mami. Holy Mother. I am desperate for a change of level. Somebody's here this morning. As you press into this last week of this month, something that is marvelous will show up in your life and your family. Something marvelous will show up in your life and in your family. Something great will show up in your life and in your family. Something awesome will show up in your life, in your family. There is a mystery over your business, but that mystery is broken today in the name of Jesus. Somebody's here this morning, that our stretched hand of God will stretch into your life and in your business this week in the name of Jesus. And your life will never be the same again. And your life will never be the same again. Give Jesus a big clap offering this one. Bigger and clap, bigger and better. Thank you, Jesus. Now see that 1 minute. One of the signs of desperation is that you want a change. How do you get a change? Submission. You submit your life to Him. You give your life away to Him. You surrender all. I surrender all to you. I just surrender. Many of us here, you have not yet surrendered. Even as you are seated here today, you don't know the date of your salvation. You know your birthday. But you cannot say, this is the day I gave my life to Christ. Just say, are you born again? Say, yes, I'm born again. You are not born again yet. When you are born again, you will know. You will know. You are here this morning. You know you are born again, but some things have happened. You want to quickly settle with Jesus. You want to rededicate your life to Him. All eyes bowed, all eyes closed. I want to pray with you this morning. You are saying to me, Pastor, I don't want these hindrances to hinder me. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to come up to God again. I want to surrender all to Him. Raise up your right hand, I will pray with you wherever you are. Raise up your right hand, I will pray with you wherever you are. You want to surrender to Him. You want to surrender to Jesus. You want to surrender afresh. You have surrendered before, but something is wrong. You are not See, you, when you are born again, some things will be happening to you. You will know. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. God is knocking at the door of your heart today. God bless you. God bless you. Raise up that hand very well. God bless you. God bless you. Raise it up very well. Don't deceive yourself. Today is your date. You didn't have a date before. You didn't have a date of your salvation. What about if you get to heaven and they say, when were you? When did you give your life? You say, 1990. They say, when? You say, I don't know. You want God to save you this morning? You want to make today your spiritual birthday? You want a dedicated life to Him? I'll count to five. And I will pray with you. One. God bless you. God bless you. Two. Three more counts and I will pray. Somebody's here this morning. God is speaking to you. Somebody is here this morning. You want to break a habit. You have a habit. You have something you are doing that is not right. You are serving God. You are doing, but there is a habit. You want to break it this morning. You want to rededicate your life to Him. Also, join them very quickly. Raise up that right hand to Him. Three. I have two more to count before I go ahead this morning, because somebody's life will never be the same again. Four. This is the last count, the count of grace. All God is waiting for is you. You are the one we are waiting for. You are the one we are waiting for. One more count. God is knocking at the door of your heart. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. Five. Now you have your card with you, or your hand is raised. Please be on your feet. I want to pray with you, wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. Be on your feet. Be on your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. My sisters. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, quickly. God bless you. Place your right hand on your chest. Now, say after me anywhere you are. Father, please forgive me my sins and cleanse me from every form of unrighteousness. Oh God, afresh this morning, I declare Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Father, write my name in the book of life. Change my life. Change my story. Help me, Lord, to serve you forever and ever in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for these men and women that you have saved this morning. The same grace that has saved them. The same grace that has brought them up this morning will keep them flying and going from strength to strength and glory to glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, as you write their names in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please follow the counselors beside you. Don't sit down. Follow them very quickly. Church, you are supposed to be clapping for Jesus. Wow, I can't believe you are clapping like this. I can't believe it. I can't believe you are clapping like this. I'm not the one that saves souls. It is God that saves souls. So give him a big clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Can we have that song that the choir sang earlier on? The last one, I surrender. Choir, can we have that? Lift your hands up to heaven. Everyone. Lift your hands up to heaven, please. Thank you, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to know you. reward you have received this morning. I can hear your voice in appreciation. Thank God for the word you have received this morning. Lord, I worship you this morning. Lord, I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. That song touched me so much. And I believe he also touched you. You have to surrender your life to him so that he can be involved in your case. I want you to pray this morning fervently. I say, Father, I surrender to you my life, my ministry, my health, my family, my job, my relationship. Everything I submit to you. Prayers in the name of Jesus. Raise your voice and pray. I surrender to you my future, my destiny. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name we are praying. In Jesus' name we are praying. We will soon know if you are desperate for a change of level or not. It will show in your prayer. You see, we can't fool God. If you are desperate, it will show that you want a change of story. I want you to pray with intensity in these few minutes. And I trust God to answer you in Jesus' name. Number one, you're going to say after me, oh God, remove all hindrances to your involvement in my life and in my destiny. Raise your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. Remove all hindrances. The hindrance of iniquity. Every hindrance. The hindrance of lack of focus. The hindrance of not helping others. The hindrance of wrong words. The hindrance of lack of joyful and faithful service. The hindrance of involvement with other gods. Father, remove all the hindrance to my life. In Jesus' name we are praying. Oh God, I receive fresh grace to serve God faithfully and wholeheartedly. Prayers in Jesus' name. Raise your voice and pray. New fire to serve God faithfully and wholeheartedly. Pray. Give me more grace to serve you wholeheartedly, sincerely. More grace to serve you, God. Empower me, help me, assist me to serve you wholeheartedly. Assist me to serve you. In Jesus' name we are praying. Hold the hands of your neighbor. We are going to pray now very fast. We are going to pray and say after me, oh God, in this ministry, everyone here today, and all our members, Father, grant each one fresh direction for progress. Prayers in the name of Jesus. Pray. Make sure your hand is with somebody. Pray. Fresh direction. We must not live without direction. Give us fresh direction. Direct our steps. No more directionless walk. No more directionless activities. In Jesus' name we are praying. Now hold the hands of only one person and you are going to pray and say, oh God, this person I'm holding, I decree every spirit of retrogression and backwardness, die. Prayers in Jesus' name. Every spirit of retrogression, every spirit of backwardness, every spirit of stagnancy, every spirit of stagnancy, I destroy you today. Pray, pray, pray very well. Pray very well. Pray very well. Every spirit of retrogression, every spirit of stagnancy, hear the word of the Lord. This, my friend, will not be stagnant. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Drop the hands of that person and you are going to pray for yourself right now, the same prayer. And you are going to say, oh God, every spirit of stagnancy, of retrogression, of backwardness, oh God, let them be destroyed by fire. Prayers in Jesus' name. Show your desperation in your prayer. Show your desperation in your prayer. Pray with fervency. 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 Every spirit of stagnancy, retrogression. Show your desperation in your prayer. Raketo brakatuzwa, jaquande kalia, jaketo braketua, jaketendoriano, makuta bredagua, jaquante kalia, zakreko to amaladas. In Jesus' name we pray. Two more prayers before we close this session. Stretch your hands forward. Listen to me, friends. It doesn't matter how things are bad. If you can pray and you are in the covenant with God, you are a tither and you are a prayerful person, you can't lack. You are going to pray into your hands before I pray into those hands. You are going to say after me, oh God, these hands represent my life. They must never be dry of resources in this economy. Oh God, I must not lack. Raise your voice and pray. 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 I must not lack. My hands must not be dry of resources. Release resources to me. Help, financial assistance, breakthroughs, 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 breakthroughs. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. And lastly, in 1 minute, Father, as many of our students, very soon, sometime end of the month or next month, in their hundreds will be returning back after the holidays, we come against accidents. We come against sorrow or sadness. Any form of weeping or gnashing of teeth, be destroyed. Prayers in Jesus' name. Pray, 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 pray. Father, all our members that will be traveling this week, all those who will be traveling for one occasion or another, there shall be no accident. All those returning back, they will return back in peace. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Stretch those hands forward like you want to receive something from heaven. Because something must drop from heaven for you this morning in the name of Jesus. I decree this morning that everything that has hindered you before now, I declare them broken in the name of Jesus. That chain holding down the blessing of that sister. That chain holding down the testimony of that sister. That chain that is not allowing that man to get a job, I decree it is destroyed this morning in the name of Jesus. Via this morning's encounter, I release resources. Resources that will bring about a change of levels for you. Receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. Receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. From the north, your blessings are released. From the south, your blessings are released. From the east, your blessings are released. From the west, your blessings are released. Anybody holding on to what belongs to you, right now, they will not have peace of mind until they release it. Within the remaining few days of this month, there will be strange testimonies for you. There will be strange miracles in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Let's give God a big clap offering. While we remain standing quickly, let's package our tithes and our offerings and raise it up to the Lord and say, Father, this is my tithe, this is my offering. Bless it this morning. May I never lack anything good. May I never lack resources. May I never lack testimonies. May I never lack favor. Release resources to me. Raise your offerings up to God. Father, every hand lifted this morning shall never go down. I pray for blessings, resources, prosperity, advancement. Raise up your offerings to the Lord and say, Father, I'm blessed this morning. I'm blessed. My tithe, my offerings are blessed. May I never lack again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Protocol, can we have the baskets quickly? Thank you, Jesus. Let's dance forward.